It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us here on Giants.com. It is just myself, Lance Meadow, with you this morning. John Schmelk on assignment. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And you can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And it is another loss that Giants Nation is trying to get over as the Giants fell to the Bears 27-21 on Thursday Night Football. So the Giants now fall to 0-6. For the first time since 1976, that was a season in which they lost their first 9 games. And the common trend that keeps overshadowing this team is the mental mistakes, the turnovers, the self-inflicted wounds. And another set of turnovers plagued this team on Thursday night as Eli Manning threw 3 more interceptions. It's stunning that he now has tallied 15 picks, matching his total from all of last season. And it's partially on Manning. It's partially on the receivers. It's partially on both players not being on the same page. There's a great deal of talent on this team. Unfortunately, guys are just not living up to expectations. But to hear the debate, to hear the chatter across all these news media outlets that the Giants now need to weigh benching Eli Manning is absolutely ridiculous. And I know we're going to take a lot of phone calls this morning on that subject. And I'm warning you right now, you might as well save the phone call. And I'm not saying I'm not going to let you on the air. But there is no better option right now than Eli Manning. Okay, Eli Manning led this team to 2 Super Bowls. Eli Manning has been the sign of consistency for this squad. After 6 games, if you want to make the point of argument that in order to turn things around, they need to turn to Curtis Painter or Ryan Nassib, I'm just not seeing that. You've got a strong claim to back that up, more power to you. But you don't bail on a guy that has been the sign of stability for this franchise and the sign of a track record that has pulled through fourth quarter comeback after comeback, has had the big arm, the big plays, and has shown that he could bounce back. You don't pull the string after 6 games of 1 bad season. You can't overlook everything else. If there was a string of bad seasons, then all of a sudden you wanted to say, okay, maybe it's time that we explore other options. That's fine. But if you get rid of Eli Manning, who are you bringing in right now? Because the options on the current roster are not very rosy. And the options on the street are not any better. And you're not pulling off a trade for anybody. And Eli Manning is getting up there in age, but he's not that old. He's got plenty of more years under his belt. So it's not as if they need to bring in a younger quarterback to say, wow, in 2 years, we're going to have to head in a different direction. That's not the case. They're not in that situation right now. To me, all of this talk is so premature, and it's overwhelming. Because people are hitting the panic button after 6 games and overlooking the fact that the Giants have a track record of bouncing back. Right now, they've got a great deal of talent. They're just not clicking. That's the problem. They've done it in seasons past. They've pulled out these fourth quarter comebacks. They've made some defensive stops when they need it. All across the board, that's just not happening. Is it mental? Is it physical? I would say it's a combination of both. You can't turn the ball over against this Chicago Bears team. What have we been talking about the entire week? The Bears are an opportunistic team. They came in scoring 55 points off turnovers. That was an NFL best. What does Eli Manning do very early in this game? He has 2 turnovers, one of which is returned for a score. And the Bears, coming into this game for the first time in 11 regular season games, actually did not have a touchdown off of a turnover, or they didn't even have a turnover. And you know that was a little hiccup, a little bump in the road. They were going to get back to their old tricks, and they did exactly that. They followed their usual script. They didn't have Charles Tillman, but they still had Tim Jennings, who's just as effective as a ball hawk. And he made Eli Manning pay. Eli Manning made some bad decisions. You have to give him the fair share of criticism, threw off his back foot. But then there's also Reuben Randall running the wrong route. Both players not being on the same page. The last interception, the ball was thrown high. Brandon Myers certainly could have caught it. If he made it, it would have been one of those highlight reel catches. But the ball was thrown high, and Brandon Myers did not have a great read on the football. So I would say both parties are at fault. I wouldn't necessarily put it on Eli Manning any more than Brandon Myers, or Brandon Myers any more than Eli Manning. And I know there's this whole debate I'm seeing on Twitter. It's 75, 25, 60, 40. Listen, it makes no difference. The Giants lost the game. We could sit here for ages and say, this guy should have run a better route. This guy should have thrown a crisper football. It's not going to solve anything. It's all across the board. There's defensive issues. The fact that they forced the Bears to punt twice. I mean, that was unacceptable. You got to get the ball back to your offense. You got to be able to slow down this Bears offense. They made it look very easy, Chicago, in terms of how fluid that offense was. Brandon Marshall, 2 touchdowns. Martellus Bennett made some catches. Keith Rivers had a missed tackle. John Beeson was arguably their best defensive player out there yesterday, and he barely studied the playbook for more than a week. Now, what does that say? No pass rush at all. That's also been a big issue throughout the course of this season. Linebackers are not getting to the quarterback. Forget the front seven. There are holes and opportunities for the linebackers. They're a step late. And Jay Cutler's the type of quarterback that he's shown this season. If you don't give him the deep ball, he'll dump it off to Matt Forte, and he did that. The Giants did a decent job against the run, and they did a decent job against LeSean McCoy, and they did a decent job against Jamaal Charles. But what do all three of those running backs have in common? They're also very effective as receivers out of the backfield. And all of those running backs, if you look back at the numbers, did a lot of damage through the air. They made up for their inability to find holes on the ground. There were a few positives last night. I would say they ran the ball effectively. Big bright spot. They had gone 5 straight games without getting to the century mark on the ground. Brandon Jacobs did a hell of a job finding the holes that the offensive line presented him and giving the Giants manageable third downs. That was the other positive. 7 for 11 on third down. The longest third down they faced was a 3rd and 11. And then they had a 3rd and 9. Everything else was 8 yards or less. That's what you want to have to deal with during the course of a game, especially based on the numbers that they were looking at over the first 5 contests. In terms of third downs, 16 of 61 over the first 5 games, 7 of 11 Thursday night. So that was a big 180 for a team that was dead last in offensive third down efficiency and also 31st in defensive third down efficiency. But the defense didn't necessarily improve because the Bears were very effective on third down, based on the fact that they barely had to punt. The Bears on third down, 5 of 11. And despite how up and down the defense was, you have to give credit to the defense for giving the Giants offense 2 opportunities in this fourth quarter. This is a game that is still within reach. It's a 6-point game. The Giants defense finally gets the Bears to punt for the first time in the third quarter, and they got them to punt in the fourth quarter after the Bears started the quarter with a lengthy drive at the Chicago 18. They got to the Giants 45, so the Giants get the ball back with just over 9.5 minutes remaining. They start on their own 8. Jacobs runs for 15 yards. They're leaning on the ground. Listen, they don't need to put the ball in the hands of Eli Manning to make magic happen. It's just a 6-point game. You still have your 3 timeouts left. But then what happens? Things start to unravel. And this is what has played out time and time again this season. They're knocking on the door. They're in games in the second half, and they shoot themselves in the foot. At the Giants 23, they get a fresh set of first downs. Manning incomplete pass to Darrell Scott. Then they go back to the ground on 2nd and 10. Okay, so your goal is at least get yourself 4 or 5 yards to make it a manageable third down. Darrell Scott gets only 1 yard. Sets up a 3rd and long, incomplete pass to Akeem Nicks. They're forced to punt. Still a lot of time, though. So the Bears get the ball back at the 35, and the Giants defense comes through again after the Bears get 1 initial first down. They're forced to punt. Just under 5.5 minutes remaining. Giants start at their own 11. And this was the one turning point, the one defining drive that sums up this whole contest. They get all the way down to the Chicago 35. They were mixing in the run. They were mixing in the pass. You know, Brandon Jacobs are a guy that has not been in this league for quite some time because after the Niners parted ways, he was sitting on his couch. Went back in the day, dug real deep, did not run out of gas, even though he had a black wrap around his thigh late in this game and they lost Darrell Scott due to an injury. Last thing they can afford is another injury to this backfield. So Jacobs did the heavy lifting, and he was just as effective in the fourth quarter as he was in the first quarter. The offensive line held up Thursday night. On this drive that I'm talking about, got a 14-yard run, got a 12-yard run. Darrell Scott came in, got a 13-yard run before he got down. So you get to the 36 for a new first down. Jacobs runs for a yard, 2nd and 9. You don't need to press the envelope here. There's still plenty of time. You got 3 timeouts. And this is the play that Eli Manning throws to Brandon Myers. Wasn't necessarily a bad decision. It wasn't as if Brandon Myers was triple-teamed. Brandon Myers didn't have 17 defenders all over him. It was just a high-thrown football. And Brandon Myers could not get a strong grasp on it. As a result, leads to another turnover. Tim Jennings and company run out the clock, and the Bears win the game. You look at this schedule, Philadelphia, they're in the second half. 3 consecutive turnovers on 3 consecutive possessions. Eagles break open the game. A late interception in this Bears contest. How about the Kansas City game? Competitive in the third quarter. The punt return by McCluster. Things all of a sudden turn for the worst. Carolina, fine. That was a legitimate blowout. The Denver game. You're still talking about a competitive game in the third quarter. Broncos get that special teams touchdown. Things break open. And then the Dallas game, you fight your way back after 6 turnovers, but you get that bad interception late. Out of these 6 games, there were 5 contests that they had a legitimate shot to put all the issues behind them and get a W on the board. There's plenty of talent on this team. These guys are not giving up. The problem is, they can't overcome these mental lapses. I think they're expending a lot of energy on these comebacks, and they don't have enough gas in the tank late to just be mentally strong. Level of execution has to improve. It's as simple as that. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. We're going to try to get to as many calls as humanly possible this morning. So glad you could join us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow with you on Twitter, at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the lines. We start with Steve in New Jersey. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, guys. 0-6. 2 games away from being past the season. No more talk about the playoffs. You know, any fan that will be talking about playoffs are delusional. Tom Coughlin, he did himself a real big favor of credibility with this team. You know, you pull Wilson for or making those 2 fumbles early. You should pull Eli. You should pull Eli. As far as Eli being clutch, no more clutch than any other quarterback. You just mentioned 5 opportunities, interceptions. Okay, and Lynn, I heard you yesterday talk about this guy that was should be apologizing about something about the mayor. Yeah, they should be apologizing. They cheated those 2 organizations. So, you know, karma. So, but yeah, no more talk about the playoffs. This season's halfway over.
All right, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Listen, in terms of the cheating, I know that was brought up yesterday. I don't want to rehash that. Somebody called in and said the Mara family ratted out the Cowboys and the Redskins. What does that have to do with anything? Karma? Come on. You know, we're talking about an 0-6 season here, and you guys and gals want to rehash some garbage. I'm not going to sit here and justify why the NFL punished 2 teams that clearly broke the rules. The Giants have nothing to do with that. This is all media speculation at this point. Yeah, Eli Manning's throwing interceptions because supposedly the Giants had something to do with those salary cap issues, ratting out the Cowboys and the Redskins. I mean, let's be practical here. We're reaching. We're digging deep here. We're getting off topic. 201-939-4513. And in terms of benching Eli Manning, once again, nobody has made a strong enough case that Curtis Painter or Ryan Nassib are going to do any better. I'm waiting. I'm sitting here. The clock is running. The clock is ticking. Name me a free agent out on the market right now that the Giants should bring in that should do better than Eli Manning. I'm waiting. I'm dying to be entertained this morning. I got my legs up. I'm getting comfortable. We'll run through as many calls here. You can name off every quarterback in America. I don't want to hear any hypotheticals. I don't want to hear ridiculous trades. I want to hear a legitimate guy that is available right now that the Giants can offer a contract and is going to do a better job than Eli Manning. You want to say Ryan Nassib is going to be more effective? Somebody who's been running the scout team? And is still getting used to the NFL? And you want to talk about Curtis Painter, who has been a career backup? He's going to help you turn around your season? That's what we've gotten to after six losses. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Pat in Orlando. Pat, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, man. How you doing?
Doing well, Pat. What you got?
Hey, man. You know what? What are we talking about here? You know, like that guy benching Eli. What? Come on, man. We should talk about football, all right? And honestly, you know, here's the deal. Yeah, we've been turning the ball over and everything, too. You know, we have turnover issues. It is what it is. It's whatever. We got to understand, guys, that the NFC East is weak. If we make a run and we, you know, start clicking with all the talent we have on our team, we still have a chance. So why all these fans coming out of there with bench Eli, our team is terrible, we're not the same team that we were, it's ridiculous. You know what? We just need to get on the same page. We got talent. So let's just use it.
That's the name of the game, Pat. I agree with you. I still think it's a little premature to start looking at the standings. I mean, right now I understand where you're coming from. And listen, a lot of Giants fans want to remain optimistic, and that's fair. But what they need right now, Pat, they just need a win so they have something to build momentum off of. You know, it's too early to talk about standings because they've got nothing that they can ride right now. You know, if you got a win at least last night, you could take that with you for the next 10, 11 days as you prepare for the Vikings. But they've got to let this loss linger now. There's still no sense of momentum that they can say, all right, listen, we did this positive. It got us a W. Let's try to take that into the Monday night game. Unfortunately, they're still looking at videotape and film of all these mental mistakes, as you just touched on. So if they can eliminate that, get rid of the turnovers, continue to run the ball effectively, continue to win the battle at the line of scrimmage, and if guys like John Beeson and Will Hill can get this defense on the same page, you're absolutely right, Pat. There's enough talent here to get back to winning football. But right now, it's unfortunately easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pat, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's go to Steve in New York. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I got a couple of quick points I want to make.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, it's not Eli's fault. Not at all. These quarterbacks are paid to throw. Receivers are made to catch. He's not going to make every throw on the money. Guys have to throw to the ball like Reuben Randle's. How come Akeem Nicks can come back to the ball for a 31-yard gain, but Reuben Randle's nowhere to be found? And not for nothing, Myers, he can't block to save his life, okay? He was brought there to catch a ball. He's got to make that catch. He's got to make it. The offensive line looked better. Anybody even considering benching Eli needs to get their head examined because it's just crazy talk. The only thing as far as blame that I don't like, as far as where blame could go, is I feel that one of the reasons that Eli's always coming from behind and having to make these big fourth quarter wins is because the coordinators don't make adjustments quick enough through the game. They'll go in with a good game plan, and then when it doesn't quite go their way, instead of making the necessary adjustments through the game, it takes them pretty much almost till the fourth quarter to make an adjustment if they make it at all.
Well,
and that's pretty much it. Oh, and the only other thing is I'm a little fired up because I just got through watching all the post-game coverage online as I get ready to listen to you guys every day. And I'm seeing a lot of guys say, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault, which is good. Those are team guys. I look at Ruben Randle's post-game conference, his post-game interview, and he's not saying that. He says that, well, Eli shouldn't have thrown the ball. There was miscommunication. There is no, well, I could have played better. There is no, I could have done this, I could have done that. And not that I want to get down on him, but I'm kind of questioning his character a little bit.
Well, that's a fair point. I didn't mean to cut you off, Steve. That's a fair point, and I think it's just a sign that Ruben Randle still needs to mature as a player. Remember, last season, he didn't get many opportunities because the coaching staff didn't have confidence in him from a maturity standpoint. Forget knowing the playbook. He wasn't taking practice seriously. So this is only his second year. We make it sound like he's been here for 10 years. He's still got some developing to go.
Watching that play before Jacobs' one-yard touchdown run where he falls and slams the ball, his maturity is absolutely in question. And I think it's part of the problem. I think it's an anchor on this team. He needs to grow up and accept a little responsibility from himself. That's what I get out of the post-conference. You know, and it's tough to say that after one, but everybody else, like, you listen to the talk, you listen to pretty much everybody. I don't get that from him.
And once again, and Steve, appreciate the phone call, I would pin that on just Ruben Randle partially being frustrated and partially, you know, having an opportunity to still grow and mature as a player, both on and off the field. He's one of the youngsters compared to this group. Guys like Antro Roll and Justin Tuck, they've been there, they've done that. They're team-first guys. They don't mind taking the blame even if they don't think they're responsible. I wouldn't be overly concerned about Randall's comments because being in the locker room throughout the course of this skid, this team does not seem like it's breaking down. This team doesn't seem like it's pointing the finger left and right, and Tom Coughlin still has his finger on the pulse of this squad. So I wouldn't necessarily hit the panic button from that perspective. There's a lot of veterans on this squad. They haven't endured a six-game losing streak. This is sort of uncharted territory, but I don't see any signs of one guy making a critical comment to call out another player and all of a sudden all hell breaking loose. So I wouldn't necessarily be overwhelmed by that. In terms of the play calling that Steve was touching on, at times them not making adjustments, I just went over those fourth quarter drives. And the one that ended with that Eli Manning interception in which he tried to throw to Brandon Myers, I thought they did a nice job last night in balancing the run and the pass. Listen, what were a lot of fans calling for weeks? Got to get this running game going. Eli Manning can't throw 52 times because if he keeps throwing 52 times, the turnovers are going to go up. And then you look at Eli Manning's numbers on Thursday night. Yes, he still threw three interceptions, but Eli Manning only attempted 26 passes. They ran the ball 26 times. That is perfect balance. See what happens when you run the football? You get manageable third downs, and all of a sudden you get that play action working, something that we had not seen over the course of the first five games. So I thought for the most part, it's hard to sit here and criticize the play calling, especially when you had runs of 12, 14, and 13 yards, respectively, from Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott on that final drive. It wasn't as if Kevin Gilbride was saying, Eli, we've got no running game. I don't care if we had a semblance of it in the first quarter. You're going to have to bring this team back. That wasn't the case. Thirdly, the Brandon Myers topic. I'm not going to sit here and defend Brandon Myers. Been a very rough go for the tight end. Given that he flourished in that Oakland Raiders offensive system, had 79 receptions, many people looked at him and said, wow, he is going to fit perfectly into this Giants system. And I was one of them. I'll take full responsibility for that. I felt given Akiem Nicks, Victor Cruz, Ruben Randle, Lewis Murphy, all the rest of the talent around him, plus David Wilson, that he was going to be a security blanket, work the middle of the field, and no problem, get about six or seven receptions a game and help move the chains. It hasn't necessarily panned out that way. Part of it is because he's not on the same page as Eli Manning, and part of it is he is still trying to adapt in being a blocker. He was not asked to block when he was with the Oakland Raiders. He was asked to run routes. Oakland Raiders barely had a receiving core. Brandon Myers was it. Now he comes to a place where he doesn't have to be it. He just has to be that complementary weapon. And if you're that if you're going to be that complementary weapon, priority number one is to block. Tight ends in the Giants system are not asked to put up the flashy numbers. They are asked to serve as that sixth offensive lineman. Now, if you're sitting back and saying, well, wait a minute, if Brandon Myers did not have a track record of blocking effectively, then why did the Giants even bring him in? Why not look at somebody else and give a one-year deal? And that's a fair point. But I will bring you to the point that they brought in previous tight ends that also did not have a track record of being strong blockers, yet they turned them in to effective blockers and effective receivers. Kevin Boss and Jake Ballard, probably two perfect examples. Martellus Bennett, even to a certain degree, did not have a lot of opportunities playing behind Jason Witten. They also developed and groomed him. All three of those guys bought into the system. All three of those guys had a level of success in this system. So are we still going to point to the system, or are we going to point to the individual player? I think it falls a bit to the latter at this point. The level of adjustment is just not there when it comes to Brandon Myers. And that's why the tight end position has brought a great deal of frustration to this team. Because even Bear Pascoe has missed assignments. And he, on paper, and based on his track record, has been the best blocking tight end for the Giants. He has not played up to par. Brandon Myers hasn't played up to par. And even the limited opportunities that they've given Larry Donnell, he also has not necessarily delivered. The one positive from a blocking perspective was John Connor. John Connor getting the opportunity helped open up that run game. Do not overlook that. Since Henry Heinoski went down and he had been plagued by injuries dating back to the offseason, they did not have that fullback presence to be that bulldozer. Connor needed a week or two to understand the playbook. He does that. He comes in. Look at what it does to the running game. That's a big positive. That is something that they can build on moving forward. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We got Maurice in New Jersey. Maurice, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, good morning, Lance. I think you make a very good point about Connor. And going back to what you said earlier about guys talking about Kevin Gilbride, it's his fault. Listen, the past few weeks, man, the Giants just haven't been executing. The name of the game, in my opinion, is execution. Now, if you look at last week against Philadelphia, no one's going to blame Gilbride then because the Giants started to execute a little better. Now, you look at last night, I thought Connor played a hell of a game, and I thought Jacobs had a great game, and he gave so much effort. If you look at the play where he scored, where his feet kept churning, you know, that's what I like to see, that we're giving effort out there. I thought Beeson played well. But the name of the game, in my opinion, is execution, man. I thought when Eli threw the two interceptions, like, okay, he got two out of his system, all right. And then he started to roll again. But it's execution, man, and him and Brandon Myers just wasn't on the same page. But I want to know, where are we going to go after this as far as a team and mentally, and if these guys are going to get down on themselves, and how are we going to adjust to the injuries in the backfield? And, you know, get that together, because Jacob seems to be running well now, and we got to keep up our execution and keep executing on all sides of the ball. And I'm just wondering how we're going to move forward mentally after a tough loss like this.
All right, Maurice, thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate you weighing in. As far as the mental perspective, as I said, I don't see this locker room falling apart. I think there were enough positives that you would assume the coaching staff is going to stress that to them over the next week plus to say, listen, you guys got back to hard-nosed football. You established your presence at the line of scrimmage. You got the running game going. We got balance on offense. We threw the ball 26 times. We ran the ball 26 times. It's not as if this team is incapable of doing that. Can we continue that for four quarters? That's the question that if I'm Tom Coughlin, I'm posing that to the team. And with respect to the defense, you know, Beeson provided a spark. Will Hill's return has given them some extra juice. They just have to get to the quarterback. They're a step here, a step there. But that's not going to do anything. You know, being close doesn't get you bonus points. That doesn't show up in the standings. There's a lot of heavy hitters in this front seven, just not delivering. If they had any semblance of a pass rush, just think of how they could have flustered Jay Cutler on a drive here, a drive there, and they get an additional defensive stop. They force the Bears into another punt. You know, that could throw the Bears off rhythm. That could maybe swing the momentum. That was the one missing ingredient yesterday. We all look at this offensive ineptitude at times with respect to the turnovers, but let's not overlook the fact that the Bears did not punt till the third quarter. Now, getting back to Maurice's point about the running game and some of the injuries, Darrell Scott is going to undergo further tests, so it's too premature to know what his long-term future is like. You have Brandon Jacobs. You hope he holds up. Andre Brown, keep in mind, will eventually be able to return from short-term IR, but they're not going to get him back until we're talking between week 8 and week 10. So you're still a little time away, and he's got to get his legs back under him. So that's not going to be an immediate boost. Right now, if Scott goes down, you're essentially left with Jacobs and you have Michael Cox. And I know a lot of you had called in on Wednesday's program and said this should be the game that Michael Cox should get more reps. But remember, he's still a rookie. He's still learning the system. And he's also shown more promise, I would say, on special teams than as an established running back. If Darrell Scott goes down, perhaps the door opens for Michael Cox to embrace the opportunity in the backfield. But I thought Jacob showed enough that he can carry a load. Do you want to give him 22, 25 carries every single game? That's probably not the wise game plan. If Scott goes down, they may need to explore bringing in another running back. And it's unfortunate because this was another storyline that was talked about so much dating back to the preseason and dating back to training camp. Wow, the Giants have a lot of depth in the running backs. Because you have David Wilson, you have Andre Brown, you'll have the 1-2 punch. Then you brought in Michael Cox. They had weapons. Were they a little inexperienced? Absolutely. But they at least had depth. Then they have been going down one by one. So that's just another example of how injuries have been another contributing factor as to why this team has been up and down so far throughout the early stages of this season. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
First, game ball goes to big Brandon Jacobs. It was awesome seeing him run so hard, and even one run in particular, which was only like a short four-yarder. But one of the knocks on Brandon Jacobs was that he was too tall to get low and get leverage. But this one run, it was like he levitated almost, and he got real low. And I don't know if you remember, it was, you know, just a short run, but he like skimmed almost horizontally across the ground. And, you know, I was just happy to see Jacobs. It's a shame that it was in a loss, but he looked awesome. And Eli did blow it at the end. The first two were not his fault. Russ Salzburg, Giants post game is crazy because he kept saying it's the tight end's fault, but the pass was high and wobbly. But Eli, you know, I was, of course, upset, but he's been doing it for 10 years. And in the fourth quarter, we have two Super Bowl wins. And that ties in 5 years. And also, I saw you and Smelt on the internet show, and I was thinking, well, if the Giants don't do anything this year, at least, you know, you look young, like if you were following the Jets, covering the Jets, which I like the Jets, but you'd have to live your whole lifetime, plus another 10 or 15 years on top of your lifetime to get one Super Bowl. But it's a down season, but that means Clowney, the quarterback, might be the next Eli Manning. And he did blow it at the end, but he won countless fourth quarter games, including Super Bowls. And, yeah, big Brandon. It's great seeing him back. Thanks.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much for weighing in. Appreciate the phone call. And Giants fans have been fortunate, as Andrew touched on, in terms of the amount of success that Eli Manning and company have achieved over the last few years. And this is just one of those rare circumstances where things have fallen apart very early. Giants fans are not used to this because the team gets off to a strong start and tends to fall off a bit in the second half of the season. This has started right out of the gates, so it has been a troubling aspect. I'm also trying to follow as many tweets as possible. I know a lot of you are active on Twitter and really appreciate the input. And our good friend at Giants Gab points out, wants me to make a point of emphasis, that Randall has 6 interceptions on him in terms of being not on the same page as Eli Manning. And listen, you look at 2010, when Manning threw 25 interceptions, How many of those interceptions were off deflections off of fingertips from the wide receivers? And I'm not saying it's to the extent this season, but clearly, you look at the number, it's big. Wow, 15 interceptions in six games. But if you didn't really watch every game and you don't look at each individual experience, you're missing the point because it's not all on Eli Manning. There have been times where he's pressed the envelope. He's tried to make something out of nothing. There's also times where Hakeem Nicks has not continued his route. Victor Cruz loses his fight with an Eagles secondary player. Eli Manning late in the fourth quarter in the Denver game is just trying to throw it up there and hope somebody can win a jump ball. You have to take those things into consideration. I would say of the 15 interceptions, maybe 8 or 9 of them were costly in early situations. And then the rest were either late or the receivers were partially to blame. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We got Rich in the Bronx. Rich, what's happening?
Yeah, I just want to say that I was a Giants fan when we're winning, and I'm a Giants fan when we're losing. Honestly, I really don't see anything in particular wrong with our team. It's just, you know, fundamental errors. We get fumbles. There's nobody you really can replace on our team that you're going to say, oh, it's going to make it dramatically better. I mean, Eli is Eli. I mean, he got 2 Super Bowl rings. He throws the ball up, you're either going to catch it or it's going to be an interception. Can't really say anything wrong with him. But as far as the Giants go, I think we need to do more quarterback spying, because I think that's the reason why we've been giving up 3rd and 10, where they just run the ball. The quarterback does a quarterback sneak, and he picks up the first down. But aside from that, hopefully we get a couple more wins or the first-round pick. That's it.
Well, it starts with one win first. I'd appreciate the phone call, Rich. Once they get one win, they can hopefully try to build off of that. And it's too early, at least right now, to speculate what will present itself for the draft. I think right now the Giants are not going to settle and say, hey, we're going to go 0-16 and just hopefully get the number one pick. They want to get back to winning football because you want to have something that you can continue to build off of. Plus, you have some young guys on this roster, and you want to at least give them opportunities to develop and have them prove that they can win games, whether it be a Reuben Randall, who has been up and down during the course of his career thus far, or giving Michael Cox some opportunities, Demontre Moore, Jonathan Hankins. Now, as the season goes along, you know, I think these guys are going to get more and more reps, but the Giants will have an opportunity to evaluate, to determine, do we keep our veterans, do we keep the core together, or do we start transitioning and giving the green light to a lot of the players that I just named, so that they can continue to grow, they can continue to develop, and they build around that. Now, there's going to be a lot of free agents on this team heading into the offseason because, as I've been mentioning week in and week out, they gave a lot of one-year deals out, mainly because they didn't have a lot of cap flexibility. So by giving out one-year deals, you can evaluate these players over the course of this season, and then if you don't think they're going to pan out, then you take that money and you use it elsewhere. And there's also a number of players that are going to see their contracts expire, such as Hakeem Nicks. He's set to be a free agent. JPP's going to be a free agent in 2 years. He's up for an extension. Right now, the Giants don't have any urgency to lock him up. Nobody right now has proven that they are demanding the big bucks. The big names on this roster have not delivered. It's the best way to sum things up. When you look at this defensive line and how many players they have and the ability to mix and match and the ability for Perry Fuel to move guys around right and left, it's truly amazing that we're talking about 5 sacks in 6 games. And forget the sacks. It's not even the sacks. It's the lack of quarterback hits. Jay Cutler, comfortable. Nick Foles, comfortable. Alex Smith, comfortable. Cam Newton, comfortable. Peyton Manning, don't even get me started with him. And even Tony Romo to an extent. Every quarterback that the Giants have gone up against over the course of these 6 games, when can you point to a time where you said, you know what, this quarterback got rattled. This quarterback was put in a precarious situation. This quarterback was put in a position where the Giants could get that game-changing turnover. And it brings me to a tweet from Chris Grathwall at Garp01US. It can be turned around, as you said. Now we have a run game, but not if the defense can effectively get stops and critical stops. And I think Chris hit it right on the nose. He's right. The offense is getting the brunt of the blame, and deservedly so. Has not shown any consistency, but let's not overlook this defensive unit. Five straight games where it gave up at least 31 points in each contest. And I know some of that was responsible via the special teams unit. But that tied a record set by the 1954 Chicago Cardinals. It's not as if a team is doing that left and right. Plus the 2012 Tennessee Titans also gave up at least 30 points in their first five games. You've got to set the tone on defense. You've got to get the ball back to your offense in a game where you're knocking on the door and Jay Cutler and company have not punted in an entire half. Is that Eli Manning's fault? Is that the wide receivers not playing well? Is that Brandon Myers? No, that's the defense not making a stop. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Matt on Long Island. Matt, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. What's going on, man?
Not much, Matt. What you got?
I appreciate the show, having here for us, the fans. Listen to it every week. But just a couple quick points, and if you just hear me out.
Sure.
I think with Brandon Jacobs, it was a great game, great to see him back, like everyone's saying. I just think, you know, having him run 260-something pounds on the outside, I mean, I don't know how smart that really is. He's an in-between-the-tackles kind of guy. You know, he had that one nice run outside with the stiff arm on Jennings, I think it was. But other than that, I mean, it's just so slow developing. And that's just a typical – you watch the Giants every week. I think most Giants fans can give you pretty much play-by-play what the Giants will do in different situations. I mean, first play of the game, it's either a slant, a play-action bomb, or, you know, if it's shotgun, they might run a delayed draw. I mean, that's – you could very, you know, very predictable, as most people will say. Now, I mean, coming from a guy who played offensive line, I think the offensive line is getting a lot better. But I just want to hear what you have to say if I bring this point up for the offseason. Now, I always look ahead into the draft. I'm not hoping the Giants obviously get a high pick, but would it be possible if David Boss will probably go, they sign a guy hopefully better than, you know, he has been health-wise anyway, and they move Pugh into guard, and then they draft a tackle like Taylor Lewan out of Michigan or Jake Matthews. You know, I don't know. Do you think that that's a possibility, and do you think that that could help the Giants out a little bit, possibly for next year? But I think other than that, we've got the ball rolling. I think it's stepping stones. Like you said, Jacobs played really well, and John Connor was a nice sight to see him play. So I just want to hear what you have to say about that, and appreciate you taking the call.
You got it, Matt, and thanks so much for weighing in. Appreciate the phone call, and I agree. John Connor, a huge bright spot. Somebody that's not going to show up in the box score, but a big reason why Brandon Jacobs had some holes was on the offensive line, but also John Connor. You get a productive fullback, he's not called the Terminator by coincidence. He's called the Terminator because that man knows how to hit the hole, get those linebackers out, and let the running back do the heavy lifting. So kudos to John Connor for getting this running game at least going to a certain degree. With respect to what Matt threw out as a hypothetical in terms of shaking up the offensive line and maybe moving Pugh to guard and bringing in a tackle, I'll leave it at this. I think the Giants will go back to the drawing board this offseason if things do not turn out very well and they continue to go down this road of losses, and they are going to explore every option. It can't hurt. If they feel a guy that's playing tackle right now is going to be more effective at guard, fine. If they feel a guy at guard is going to be more effective at center, they'll move them around. You've got to at least explore that, especially when you've realized that your veteran core on the offensive line has been plagued by injuries dating back to the preseason, and you now have to go in a younger direction. Chris Sinney is on IR. Who knows what his future with the organization is due to this hip injury? Boss, who Matt just touched on, this neck injury, no timetable. What is his future with the team? Deal, up there in age. It's been a sign of stability for a decade. Kareem McKenzie, Seibert, Sean O'Hara, they had those guys that would win that battle at the line of scrimmage. But every good thing, every good generation, every good unit eventually comes to an end. So now you have to prepare to make that transition. And this is where the Giants have fallen short. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. They've drafted numerous offensive linemen between the third and the seventh rounds, and they haven't, unfortunately, panned out. If they did, then probably the Giants right now are in a position to move up that second unit. And all of a sudden, you have a younger group that you can rely on, not just week in and week out, but season in, season out. They don't have that luxury. James Brewer, you can't necessarily rely on. Brandon Mosley, you can't necessarily rely on. So I think they are in a position, as Matt touched on, where either you need to beef it up through the draft, or what I personally can get behind is looking at free agents. The Giants have a better track record with respect to improving their offensive line through free agency. They brought in Sean O'Hara, they brought in Kareem McKenzie as free agents, and that yielded very positive results. I think that's the way you go, assuming that you have enough cap space to do so, and at least how the numbers line up, they should have that luxury and that advantage come this offseason. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Continuing to take your calls, let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, what's happening? Mike, are you there? Okay, Mike, a man of very few words this morning. Let's try to move along here. We go to Issa in L.A. Issa, what's happening?
Hey, good morning.
How we doing, Issa?
Doing real well. I actually called because you've heard the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. Well, we keep doing the same thing over and over, and we're consistently inconsistent. This system that we're using is inconsistent. We keep blaming it on the players. I think it's the system. The Kevin Gilbride and the Perry Fuel era has been an inconsistent team. We go on runs, and I love it. Believe me, I was at the 2007 Super Bowl, and 2011 was amazing. But those are runs. We go on these runs, but we're consistently inconsistent. Something needs to be changed inside the locker room, inside the system. I was listening, I think it was either Dottino or Schmelk talking about how Myers came over from a system where every year the system was changing to a system here where we do the same thing over and over, the same way, the same way, the same way. Well, we keep doing it the same way, we're going to get the same results.
Well, what is it that you're looking in terms of changing the system? The play calling you're saying is the shortcoming? What is it about the system?
Yeah, some of the play calling. I mean, I thought maybe he would learn something by seeing the other Manning, you know, the way they short throw. They take what's given to them. They put the ball where it is. We drop back in a five-step drop every time, you know, looking for the long play. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what it is. I would put it on the OC and the DC, though, the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator.
Well, I think they've made a better habit, Issa, of trying to get the running backs involved in the last few games in dumping it off to get those short passes so that they can get to manageable third downs. But you have to keep in mind, even when they've changed things up, and it's been tweaks, I agree with you. They have not really made huge strides where they're revamping things tremendously to catch the opposition off guard. But once again, it gets back to the lack of execution. As much as it's easy to criticize the system, I think you need to look at the players that they've put in positions, such as the short passes to running backs. How many passes do we see go off of Brandon Jacobs' chest? Off of the fingertips of Darrell Scott. So even when they've made an effort, it still falls short. So it's almost
as if Rivers is missing tackles.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right.
So you have to say it's a combination of both. I think that's the fair compromise here. Yes, the offensive coordinators do need to do a little bit more, but responsibility also falls on the players. The offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, Issa, can put these guys in position to succeed. If they can't execute, it makes no difference.
It is. You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head with everything you just said.
All right, Issa, thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate you weighing in.
Have a good one.
You too. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Craig in Massachusetts. Craig, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
Craig. Hey, Lance, I agree with some things. I have to say, though, the offensive line has made some progress since the beginning of the year. I know we've been pretty tough on them. I know Brewer's been, you know, these young kids have come in. The consistency hasn't been there. But Justin had a great – I thought had a wonderful game last night. I think that had something to do with Jacob's success last night, of course, with John Connor. But am I happy about 0-6? Absolutely. Reminds me when I was a young kid in the 60s where it wasn't very good time to be a Giants fan in the late 60s. But this team, I think, has the potential. Like you said, I think it's all execution. I really believe that we were winning that game on that last drive. And I saw that ball go through Myers' hands, and I just went, oh. And it's just pretty much the season. But I think this team can turn it around. And I think they can be competitive, and I think Giant fans will be hat by the end of the year. And give some credit to that offensive line. They're gelling. They're brand new with all the injuries. And I think it takes about, believe it or not, seven to eight games for an offensive line to gel together that hasn't played that much together. So this should be, you know, there's some positive things happening. I think Coughlin's doing about as great a job as a coach can in this situation. So I do agree with you on the defense. I think they need to put some pressure on the quarterback, because I think Beeson is a surprise, you know, a nice surprise, and hopefully continues. I know he's just new, just learning the playbook, and then Hill, it's great to have him as well, and I just want to hear what you have to say, and thanks again for taking my call.
You got it, Craig. Thanks so much for weighing in, and I agree with you. I think you brought up a very valid point about how when you move around offensive linemen, and this is dating back to the preseason, even training camp when they were battling injuries, they went through four preseason games, four different offensive lines. So to a certain degree, the first three or four regular season games were almost preseason games still for the O-line, because they were moving guys around constantly. And that was a fair point by Craig saying, listen, maybe it takes until the sixth or the seventh game to get on the same page. And the offensive line has made strides. You look at the numbers. They've only given up two sacks over the last two games. Prior to that, they had given up three sacks in the Kansas City contest, seven in the Carolina game, three to Dallas. So those numbers have dipped, and the running game has gradually improved. So that's a sign that the offensive linemen are building chemistry. And you would assume as they get more and more reps under their belt during practice, as they get more and more games under their belt, that will continue to accelerate in terms of the progress. So that is certainly a positive. He also touched on Will Hill and John Beeson, and a lot of you on Twitter are also getting behind both of those players. Last 2 weeks, they've welcomed both of these guys into the mix, and they have provided an instantaneous lift. Hill really flashed against Philadelphia. A lot of big plays. Unfortunately, it didn't translate to a W, but he had that tackle for a loss amongst his 11 tackles. Remember to bring back LeSean McCoy when the Eagles looked like they were going to punch it in. That was a huge play to keep Philadelphia from getting in the end zone. And he was very active in last night's game against the Bears, as was John Beeson. John Beeson has a great track record of being that linebacker that can stretch the field, has the versatility to run left or right. The problem has been injuries have held him back. And it's the same thing we've been talking about with respect to Keith Rivers. Keith Rivers, great track record, great college player out of USC. Injuries have held him back. You take the chance by giving up a late round pick to bring in this playmaker, and you hope that he can get back to his old self. Is Beeson going to return to Pro Bowl form? Too premature to say that. It's only been one game, but considering what the Giants sacrificed, if he turns out to be a productive player, that's a huge win for the Giants, considering nobody has stood out in this linebacker corps. We fielded plenty of calls this entire preseason training camp. There were opportunities for Mark Herzlich to win that job. What happened? Dan Connor beats him out. Dan Connor gets hurt. They're still waiting for that impact middle linebacker. Jaquan Williams has been battling injuries. Keith Rivers has had his fair share of ups and downs. But maybe Beeson will be the bright spot in this group. Jaquan Williams, I thought, had one really good play last night. If you recall, he got to Jay Cutler when the running back was not in for protection, and that led to the intentional grounding penalty, which took the Bears out of field goal range and gave the Giants back the football. So the linebackers have had plays here or there, but there's not a game where you can say, you know what, the linebackers made up for the lack of a pass rush, and that was the key ingredient to helping the Giants overcome obstacles. We're still waiting for that game. 201-939-4513. On Twitter, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, use hashtag Giants Chat. We go to JT in the Bronx. JT, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance. How are you?
How we doing, JT? What you got?
I really think the Giants rushing is going on and off. So for me, I think we need to sign a new running back to bring in for the offense. Like, for an example, Michael Turner, who's been out there since week one.
JT, you know, you probably just answered your own question. Michael Turner, you just said, has been out on the street in week one, so nobody's touched him. There's a reason why Michael Turner's still out on the street. What makes you think he's going to be able to provide a spark for this team?
because Michael Turner last year had a good season with the Falcons, and for me, the Giants need to bring something like that into the organization for the rushing to go good so Eli can throw the ball off to the receivers. But Michael Turner is hot out there. I don't know why no team is like looking to offer him contracts or nothing.
But, JT, isn't Michael Turner a similar style runner as Brandon Jacobs? What is Michael Turner bringing to the table that's different from what Jacobs gives you?
Michael Turner can actually run the ball well and actually break ground to gain yards and so.
Well, Jacobs gave you that last night, though. When he has holes, he could do that.
That was one game. We don't know next week he might break down and have, like, 10 yards rushing for, like, what, 36 yards or nothing. That could be one game for Brandon Jacobs.
Well, that could very well be the case, but who's to say that doesn't happen to Michael Turner? He hasn't been out there practicing. He's been on the couch. There's no guarantee that he's going to come in and accelerate. I think you take a chance. You're basically, what you're doing is you're trying to pick a gem out of nowhere and hoping that you throw it up on the wall, it'll stick, and all of a sudden you're going to get a spark out of it. They need the answers from the 53 right now, JT. Bringing up a free agent, bringing up a guy out on the street is going to need time to first learn the playbook. Take, for example, John Connor. John Connor was cut from the Bengals. He came here. He needed 2-3 weeks to learn the playbook. Michael Turner could very well need 2 to 3 weeks to learn the playbook. So it is now week 6. So they have 3 more games before we get to the bye. What is Michael Turner going to do if you're 0-8, 0-9 by that point? What is the purpose of bringing in a Michael Turner? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you're right about that. But I still think they need a running back who can actually run the ball well to get them rushing yards for good offense.
Well, and it's a fair point, JT, that maybe they could use another body in the backfield, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Given the fact that they have been plagued by injuries, you can't overlook that. They are going to get Andre Brown back. So if you're going to get Michael Turner, for example, hypothetically, and you bring him into the mix, and I said he needs 2 to 3 weeks to learn the playbook, by the time Michael Turner can be a contributor, you're going to have Andre Brown back. So you don't really need a Michael Turner. If you have a combination between Andre Brown and Brandon Jacobs, and perhaps you get to the point in week 10, week 11, where Michael Cox has shown enough in practice that you want to throw him in. You want to give him a screen pass. You want to give him a draw. I could see that playing out. Right now, clearly, the coaching staff does not have enough confidence in him. And we got into a big topic of discussion yesterday on Big Blue Kickoff Live when I was hosting with Anita Marks that one caller brought up, the Giants do not play their rookies. And I think there's been a variety of different examples to show that they do play rookies. They do play guys that don't necessarily make the big bucks. But you got to know the playbook. And if Michael Cox can't pass protect on a second or third down play and he misses his assignment and Eli Manning gets absolutely hammered and suffers, God forbid, a long-term injury, does it really make it worth throwing out Michael Cox there for a play or two? Just because he's a rookie and you think he's going to give you a flash or he's going to give you something that you can build off of, it's really worth that at that point in the season? Yeah, that's why you got to put things in perspective. It's easy to look and say, hey, they got DeMontre Moore. They got Jonathan Hankins. These guys are beasts. They did tremendous in college. They don't know the playbook. Doesn't matter what type of resume they have coming out of college. DeMontre Moore has provided some game-changing plays, but for every game-changing play that DeMontre Moore has provided, he also has a penalty on his resume. So it's a plus, and then it's a minus. That's the learning curve of a rookie, of course, but if you're in positions and 5 of these 6 games, they have been in positions to win late. Can you really afford putting a rookie out there to pick up a boneheaded penalty that could essentially cost you a game? What is the one issue plaguing this team right now? Mental mistakes. Turnovers. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got our good friend, Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? I'm glad I got you, Lance, because that was actually me who said that, and I'm glad Anita agreed with me for all of the many reasons that she stated about players, you know, not getting played who don't get paid. But I'm not going to argue that. I see you guys are all riled up. I'm actually, you know,
well, I'm not Steve. I'm not yeah. Wound up, and I understand where you were coming from. It's just that as I just explained. You still need to know the playbook, regardless of how flashy and attractive you are as a youngster in this league.
Uh, listen, I agree with you, and I recognize your point. You know, it's about a point, but I respectfully disagree. I do think that, first of all, we're just way too predictable anyway in our running game. So go ahead and get the ball a couple of times. Here's the thing. I'm not even going to go on that because here's what I'm going to just grade us, and I'm going to be trying to get off this phone, you know, in a reasonable amount of time before you actually kick me off. But here's what I got to say. I'll give the team a B-, and I give Eli a F. And I'll tell you why. And I'm just going to point out some quick problems and, some quick solutions, and I'll listen up there, guys. You know, first of all, you know, the team is exactly who I thought we were when we started the season. And, we see where we have problems. First of all, I'm so glad to see Will Hill out there flying around. I mean, he was just, you know, a breath of fresh air to see. I mean, looks like a total different, like he's on a total different level than the rest of our players. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is the players. We all knew we needed linebackers, you know, coming into the season. And, we still need an outside linebacker. Javon Williams, I'm just not sold on him. I was glad to see Deason in there. But, you know, the most important thing everybody wants to talk about is obviously Eli. And like I've been saying for the last year and a half, you know, and I've been taking as far as saying that that's why a couple of tight ends left, because they couldn't stay from getting injured because of the high balls. That's a problem. I would never suggest that we should get rid of Eli. But if anybody does not want to recognize that Eli has been throwing off his back, putting high balls, and putting our receivers in bad positions, and particularly our tight ends. You know, even the ball last night, you could put part of it in Myers, because I'm definitely not a Myers fan. But if you look at the play, not only did he have to, you know, jump high, he had to reach behind him. It was a bad ball. Yes, he expected to catch that, but it wasn't a good ball. And the common denominator with these turnovers is Eli. So it is what it is. You know, it needs to be corrected. I don't want to get rid of him, but where our success will come from is exactly where it came from last night, was the play calling. We have to continue to run the ball. I believe all our running backs can get the job done if you let them, let them get into a rhythm, let our offensive line get into a rhythm of run blocking. I mean, I don't understand why people don't see that. I mean, it's a matter of balance. Listen, we didn't do anything different last night but stay with the run. Yes, I was so glad to see Brandon running hard. I believe Wilson could do that. I believe Darrell Scott can do that if you're giving the ball consistently instead of just getting away from it. You know, we played a hard game last night, and, you know, I'm emotionally drained, so I don't even want to go on and on. But, we don't need to get anybody. We just need to make our players play better, you know, and you know, that's the bottom line. I don't want to sit here and point out the receivers. You know, I think it's ridiculous to go on Reuben Randall. You know, we don't even know if it was his fault or Eli's fault. I mean, that's probably why he had almost a breakdown in his interview last night, saying things he shouldn't have said as far as, you know, I hear somebody talking about his attitude. But, you know, it was right after the game, and he probably was where he was supposed to be. So let's not point out and say whose fault it was. You know, at the end of the day, Eli has to be held, you know, to higher standards. He recognized that for the first time last night, instead of acting delusional like his play has been great. It is what it is. And, he's a great quarterback, but he needs balance. We have to stay with the run, guys. And I'm listening up, Ed. Thanks for letting me get it off my chest. But, you know, we just need to play better. And the play calling absolutely is the difference in that. We have to stay balanced.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. You too, Steve. Thanks so much for weighing in. And they had balance yesterday. 26 passes, 26 runs. And, Steve, I agree with you. Everyone has to play up to standards, not just Eli Manning, not just Brandon Myers, not just Reuben Randall. That's why at the top of the show I said, I'm not blaming Myers, I'm not blaming Manning. Everyone is responsible for these mental lapses and these bad passes and the lack of execution. There's a big debate on Twitter right now taking place with a lot of you as I'm watching here on Giants.com/BigBlueKickoffLive, which is our website dedicated to this show, going back and forth about it was Eli Manning, it was Brandon Myers. That's not going to serve any purpose. They were both at fault. It was a high-thrown ball. Myers could have made somewhat of an additional effort to catch the football. Same thing with the passes to Randall. However, the one thing I will counter with Steve's point about we shouldn't be too hard on Randall, Randall has a track record of some drop passes. It hasn't necessarily been just the routes that have led to interceptions. He's had opportunities to haul in long passes, and he has not necessarily come through with that. Now, he had a tale of two halves last week against the Eagles, made up for that with those two touchdowns. But If you look at his track record, if you look at how he's played since he arrived in this league, you've had a good game, sometimes followed by a bad game, sometimes followed by a game where you're wondering where Reuben Randle was. And the reason I think a lot of Giants fans and the media has been hard on Randle so far this year, you're talking about he was one of two players that shined to me in training camp. On offense, it was Randle. On defense, it was Prince Amukamara. And Prince has been effective this season. Fortunately, out of this entire banged-up secondary, he stayed healthy. Randle was catching pass after pass from Eli Manning during camp, making progress during the preseason, took advantage of Akiem Nicks not being here for a mini camp, not being here much during OTA, same thing for Victor Cruz. He had an opportunity to get on the same page as Eli Manning. So the question is, why are the two of them, six games into the season, still not on the same page? I don't know if I have an answer for you, but it's a fair question to throw out there, given that he was here more than Akiem Nicks and Victor Cruz. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We go to Charles in North Carolina. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, nothing much, guys. Hey, I like to listen after I finish my comment because I'm at work. But quick thing, man. Beason, I told you on Monday, Tuesday, whatever it was, the guy can play football. I'm glad we got him. But my thing, we got a middle linebacker for the next 2 or 3 years, man. As long as he can stay healthy, well, that's with anybody in the NFL. But the guy can play the game. He still got it. I knew he did. I'm glad to see that, man. And good. Now, let's get to the bag. I read an article last night and got to lead it. It was a beat writer for the Giants. I can't remember who it was that got to lead it. I tried to look for it. I couldn't find it. Cruz made a statement 3 weeks ago about this team not being excited about the schemes, not being excited about the game plans. They're coming out. See, we got to realize something, guys. We can talk about Reuben Randle, Eli, the defense ain't getting the pass rush. These guys are talented. We know that already. What's the problem? The problem is this team is not excited about these coaches or this scheme. They're trying to turn it on game day and win games, but when you don't believe in what you're doing 100%, that's a problem. You're not going to be able to translate that over to winning games. See, we've seen a little bit of flash of it last year. This team is not buying into the game plan or the scheme week in and week out. It's not Tom Coughlin. I'm going to leave Tom Coughlin alone for right now. But these schemes, here's another point I want to make before I listen to you guys' comment. We talk about, well, the receivers got sight adjustment. Now, don't you think that if I'm a defensive coordinator playing the Giants, what I'm going to say is, let's show Eli Manning something to make him think and to make his wide receivers think we're going to play this a certain way. Since they like to do side adjustment, let's play it to make him think he has the inside track. Then we're going to change. We're going to do something totally different. So it's disguising. This offense needs to get back, get more simplified to where, hey, this is the route you're running, this is it. None of this side adjustment stuff where, okay, he's playing, oh, I'm gonna change the route. No, it needs to be no tricks, no, not getting cute. We need to come out, run plays, the routes are set in stone, and let Eli go through his progression and find the open man. All this side adjustment, and me and Randle, we're off, and we're not communicating. That's doing too much right now. Let's simplify this thing out. You run your route. I know what route you're running. If it ain't open, I'm gonna check down. All this not on the same page stuff. It's week 6, 7, man. We ain't on the same page by now. We know we're gonna be on the same page.
And Charles, I agree with you. I think that's a fair point, and appreciate you weighing in. Thanks so much for the phone call. In terms of if it's too complex on offense, specifically for a guy like Randle, then maybe you get to the point that you have to simplify it. However, Charles's point that the players are not confident in the system. Now, Victor Cruz, Akiem Nicks, they didn't just walk in the door. they've been under these guidelines. It's helped them win a Super Bowl. So I don't know if I'm buying, and I didn't see that quote that Charles was referring to, mentioned that Victor Cruz alluded to or claimed that the players were not too confident in the system. I could understand it being still a little complex for Ruben Randle because he's new. So maybe you have to simplify things if your youngsters are not buying in and they're not getting to the level of execution that you've been trying to get to. But for Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks to say all of a sudden the system's too complex, then why did it work a few seasons ago when you won a Super Bowl? So maybe you need to make tweaks for specific players in their routes. But as far as completely revamping it, I wouldn't go so far to say that because there has been a level of success with this system. That's what I can't understand why people try to kill Gilbride and they try to kill the system and say that they got to go completely in a different direction. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm living in fairy tale land. Did the Giants never have success with a Gilbride system? Did they never reach their true potential with this system? Have they been a bottom of the barrel offense? I'm not saying they've been consistent for a 16-game stretch, but I think they've had a fair amount of success under Gilbride that you don't really all of a sudden look back and say, we've got to completely overhaul it. I buy Charles's point, and I buy a number of your points who have called in even in weeks past that you've got to tweak, especially when you take the opponent into consideration, such as putting in slants, getting your running backs involved in the flat so that Manning could just dump it down, especially when he wasn't getting good solid pass protection. But keep in mind, if your offensive line is now starting to improve and you're getting the semblance of a run game and you can open up play action, I don't see the harm in now maybe getting back to some of the things that worked back in the day, such as giving Eli Manning opportunities to throw down the field. You have Victor Cruz, you have Akeem Nicks, you have Ruben Randle here for a reason. You did not bring in those three guys to run slants. You brought in those guys to stretch the field. Now, you can't rely on the big play every single down. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you should say, now we've got to get extremely conservative. You need to continually mix and match. When they couldn't run the ball, then you had to say, we've got to get back to the short pass scheme so that we can move the chains methodically and get into manageable third downs. They didn't do that effectively over the last few games. Part of it because the system wasn't adapting, but also, as I pointed out to one of our earlier callers, I believe it was Issa, because of the lack of execution by the personnel. Now, if the personnel is starting to execute, I don't think you need to all of a sudden become conservative left and right. I think you could try to open up the playbook to maybe get this offense clicking. Because eventually, you've got to build confidence somehow. Dumping it off to Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott in the flat every single down is not going to build confidence. If Eli Manning is going to get out of this slump, he's got to believe that he can get back to the things that helped him thrive in the fourth quarter and even during the first three quarters in seasons past. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
It's a Lance, by the way, Mike, but appreciate
Lance,
the phone call.
Oh, Lance, I'm sorry, buddy.
You got it. Not a problem.
You know, disappointed about last night, but, you know, optimistic for the future. We get a little time before our next game, and the schedule gets a little soft, so we'll see what happens. I'm not talking playoffs, but, you know, maybe we can make a run at the season at least. A couple quick points, and I'll let you run. You know, Myers, my point on that last night is, listen, you were brought in as a pass-catching tight end. You're not, you know, a run blocker. We're not keeping you in to get 3 yards on a draw. We brought you in here for your pass-catching ability. Now, granted, that wasn't right in the numbers in your breadbasket, but like Coughlin said in his interview at the end of the game, it hit him in the hands. You got to make that. You got to make that in this situation, driving down on fourth down at 0-5, in the fourth quarter, rather, at 0-5, to get your first win. That's a pass that needs to be caught. Play needs to be made, bottom line. Really optimistic about Jacobs. Hopefully that wasn't just a flash in the pan night, but I think with the Terminator as a fullback, you know, Connor as a fullback in the O-line looking a little bit better with Deal in there as a full-time starter, things are possibly going to go up running game-wise. I'm disappointed that we let Trateau go to make room for Scott, I believe. I think hopefully that doesn't bite us in the butt when we play the Vikings in the future. I wish him good luck as a North Jersey guy. Rooted hard for him. And whatever happened to Herzlick? I mean, wasn't he penciled to be our starter, and then all of a sudden Connor makes it a match, and Connor gets the start for the first few games. He gets hurt. Then they bring in another guy, Beeson. I mean, is Herzlick going to be just a special teams guy? I thought he was the next guy to fill the role. Hey, I appreciate your time, and I'll listen to your comments.
Thanks for the phone call, Mike. Herzlick has had multiple opportunities, Mike, to answer your question. And this is not just this season. This is in seasons past. He lost his starting job to Chase Blackburn. Blackburn was more effective. That's why they leaned on him. You know, how many times can you open the door for Herzlick and he doesn't come through? That's why they went the direction of John Beeson. This is all about what have you done for me lately. If you can't deliver, the Giants are going to look elsewhere. Herzlick has had his fair share of chances. I'm not going to sit here and defend him because, you know, they've given him ample opportunities. The problem is he has not been a consistent middle linebacker who has provided those game-changing plays and has hit the hole and has helped stop the run. So that's why the Giants have went out and explored some other situations to bring in other players. But he's right, Mike. Herzlick was penciled in to be the guy. They did also sign Dan Connor, and there was a battle back and forth. Connor beat him out. Connor gets hurt. Once again, the door opens for Herzlick. Herzlick can't take full advantage of it. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We're going to go till about 11 a.m. Eastern since a lot of you want to weigh in, and this was a Thursday night game, so we're treating this essentially as a Monday show. Appreciate all the phone calls. Lance Meadow here with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live, at Lance Meadow on Twitter, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, hashtag Giants Chat. I'm also monitoring Twitter, and Saraceno, our good friend, brought up a great point, and I actually wanted to touch on this on the post-game show last night as part of the Giants Radio Network, and I didn't have an opportunity with John Schmelk. Reuben Randle, a number of you are defending him on Twitter. A number of you are being critical of him on Twitter. I think it's been right down the middle. One play that is not being brought into the conversation, and I'm surprised, and Saraceno at SJS0816 just brings it up. There was a play where Randle makes a catch, goes down, slips, is frustrated with himself, if you recall, throws the ball into the ground. It could have easily been ruled a fumble, but they changed the rule based on what Victor Cruz did, if you recall, two seasons ago in Arizona, where it appeared he slipped, loses the football. It wasn't ruled a fumble because they said he gave himself up. So they changed the rule that once it appears a wide receiver gives himself up, even though he coughs up the football, it's not a fumble. The play's dead. But Randle, this is another example that I wanted to bring up because of the maturity factor. You can't do that. If you slip, and this was right when the Giants were getting into the Bears' red zone, and nobody touches you, you got to get back up and hustle. You can't let frustration overrule you. And I'm surprised a number of you were not bringing that into the center of the conversation, saying that Eli Manning's interceptions are all on Eli Manning. And I'm not here to dish out blame. I think everybody shares responsibility. We're not keeping score. Myers is responsible for this pick. Randall's responsible for this pick. Manning's responsible for this pick. Everybody takes blame because nobody's executed across the board. But there, to me, are multiple signs of Randle struggling to not just execute, but get a strong grasp of what it takes to be mentally strong. And that needs to change if he is going to take the next step and this offense is going to take the next step. Let's head back to the lines. We've got a good friend, Jeff, in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
How you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Jeff.
It was nice to see the offensive line, I thought, played a whole lot better last night. It was nice to see the running attack get going pretty well. And it was nice to see our newest acquisition, at linebacker, flying around the field. I thought he had a pretty good game. He was very active. I don't know if you were at the game last night or not, but it's something I don't see on TV, something I don't show you. But, you know, when Eli threw that interception for a touchdown return, and there was a throw to Nix just before halftime, and there's another one that Randle was involved in. I mean, for once, I don't know what goes on the sidelines because they don't show you in terms of the quarterback communicating with whomever. But I like to see Eli. I know his nickname's Easy Eli and all that, but you know, it's your huddle, it's your team, it's your offense. Get in somebody's face once in a while and blow them up. I mean, if they're not running the right route, make it known to them and make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, I know he's not a fiery guy. You know, he's got that, you know, he throws an interception and his head's hanging down. And, I mean, you know, the act is getting old. I mean, you know, get on these guys and get them going the right way. I mean, if you want to be a pro, act like a pro. And as far as Randall goes, I think he's soft. He's another one that needs to act like a pro if he wants to be a pro.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's very frustrating, buddy.
Listen, I'm with you, and I think all Giants fans are with you in terms of, Jeff, this team shooting itself in the foot, having all of this potential, like you said, in terms of all the weapons that you named, and they just come through with mental lapse after mental lapse. As far as Eli Manning is concerned, I think you brought up a very good point, but, Jeff, you also answered your own question. Eli Manning's just not that guy. You know, he's been here long enough, Jeff, that you would think by this time he would have changed his personality just a tad, because this is not the first time that they've gone through a losing skid and there's been guys that haven't been delivering. So I just don't see him pulling a 180. But there are quarterbacks across the league that, you're right, if a guy runs the wrong route, if a running back misses a pass protection assignment, they're in the face of that guy and they're saying, listen, buddy, you better keep me upright or else you're going to hear about it. And he's just not that type of player.
Yeah, I know he's not, and I know he's not going to change, but I like to see a little fire lit once in a while, you know?
And that's fair, Jeff. That's very fair.
All right, bud. You have a good day.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and it was our previous caller, Mike in New Jersey, who alluded to Justin Trateau, who they had to waive to re-sign Darrell Scott, and Trateau, when he was talking about him, mentioned that he hopes Minnesota doesn't get an advantage. I'm not sure if the majority of you know, but the Vikings did claim him. And the Vikings are the next Giants opponent. And we saw Kyle Bosworth get claimed by the Cowboys before the Giants went up against him. Chase Blackburn wasn't claimed, but he signed with the Panthers. So the Giants have gone up against some opponents that have former Giants, and I remember after the Panthers game, I believe Blackburn told one of the local Carolina papers, oh, I knew the playbook. I knew every play that the Giants were running on offense. And I think that's easy to say when your team wins 38-0. So to sit here and speculate and say, uh-oh, the Giants are going to be in trouble because Trateau is going to give all the Giants' secrets away to the Vikings, you know, let's shy away from that conversation right now. I don't know how much he's going to truly add to the Vikings game plan. Plus, we still don't know who Minnesota's going to start. Could be Matt Cassel, could be Christian Ponder, could be Josh Freeman. Still early in the game. A lot of storylines are going to still have to play out before Minnesota presents what it's going to do in terms of its attack against the Giants and whether or not a guy like Trateau will help. Trateau will probably be a special teams contributor. Then again, Kyle Bosworth was a special teams contributor in that Cowboys game, and he certainly helped out Dallas win that contest. 201-939-4513, the telephone number. Let's head back to lines. We got Ben in Rhode Island. Ben, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance.
Doing well, Ben. What you got?
I just want to talk about the defense a little bit. They're struggling to get pressure on the quarterback, and I'm just not sure why they don't do some of the stuff that the Bears do. You know what I mean? Like, look at that A-gap pressure. It was extremely effective, and I just don't understand why we don't take some pages out of the other team's books.
Well, they have struggled in terms of the pass rush. There's no denying that, Ben, and that has been a big issue as to why quarterbacks have had a great deal of success against this team. I think the linebackers were close last night at times. Paysinger and Bob Popp and Carl Banks talked about this heavily on the radio broadcast. There were times, it seemed more often than not, Ben, where the linebacker would show some aggressiveness, get through the hole, and then all of a sudden back up into coverage. Very hesitant. That, to me, needs to be shored up, because if your front four are not getting to the quarterback, then you need to rely on your linebackers. If your linebackers are not getting to the quarterback, then you have absolutely no hope. All you're doing is leaving your secondary out to dry.
I completely agree. I think until they fix that, they're going to be giving up a lot of points on defense, to say the least. Thank you.
You got it, and thanks so much for weighing in, Ben. The defense made some strides in terms of the point total. This is a team that's given up in the 30s the last few weeks. And remember, Tim Jennings had one of the interception returns, so it wasn't 27. It was only 20 that was pinned on the defense. But they still are a unit that seems to be working things out. You have some plays where they force Jay Cutler into an intentional grounding. You have some plays where you stop the run, such as Will Hill getting into the backfield against the Eagles. Then you have plays where Terrell Thomas is beaten left and right, or you have plays where the middle of the field is wide open. This was a very tough task for the Giants' defense, given the height and the versatility that the Bears' receiving corps presented. There had been no receiving corps this season that the Giants went up against that could match the Bears' nucleus. Marshall, 6'4". Jeffrey, 6'3". Bennett, 6'6". Earl Bennett, 6 feet tall. Decker and Demaryius Thomas are each 6'3". But nowhere did they see this type of depth. And Amukamara is not a big guy. McBride's not a big guy. And Terrell Thomas is still overcoming the ACL. And I'm not trying to pin that as an excuse as to why the Giants struggled. But there is something unique about this Bears receiving corps. And the way you counter that is you got to get to the quarterback. And you also need to disrupt their routes. There were times where Marshall would just run a slant. He was untouched last night. He was setting the tone. Let's go ahead back to the lines. We've got Lenny in Pennsylvania. Lenny, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing well, Lenny.
I just want to say this. First off, you know, we got some Giants fans here that are already shooting our team down. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were, you know, high-fiving and all that. So they need to relax. You know, this happens to teams every once in a while. But my main thing is Eli Manning. You know, he's a good quarterback, but sometimes I feel like he just makes some mistakes that he shouldn't make. You know, sometimes he has to learn how to take a sack, you know, instead of just throwing the ball up in the air. You know, you saw last week where he thought he was shooting some basketball hoops or something. Just threw the ball up in the air, didn't, like, really see where he was going to throw, whether it hit the guy's helmet, whether the guy hit his face mask, whatever. You know, sometimes he's just got to know how to take the sack, or sometimes he got to know how to run the ball. You know, if you know your offensive line is not going to protect you 100%, you have to decide to make some decisions. Kilbride has to, you know, he has to decide to, like, you know, make some short routes or some slants where in situations where the offensive line is going to just collapse on him. You know, he's a better quarterback than he looks like he's playing lately. And, you know, we've seen this guy throw balls in, you know, certain situations where we can't believe that, you know, catches have been made. And I honestly think that the reason why they're – receivers are not doing as well is because we don't have that third receiver what we had a couple of years ago, Manningham. You know, that's why everybody's collapsing on Cruz and Nix has his problem. And then, you know, we got Randall. He's not really that good. You know, he needs to make better decisions as far as the routes that he's running.
Well, Lenny, Randall is good, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Randall has talent, but like you said, he has some mental lapses. But I don't think it's just because they don't have a Mario Manningham. You have Brandon Myers. You have Randall. You have guys that can run routes and make plays who are threats that defenses need to pay attention, because if they leave them wide open, they're going to wind up making them pay. The problem is they're having some issues in executing some of the simplistic stuff, and that's what's killed the Giants. It's not missing Mario Manningham. They filled that void. But Mario Manningham was at least somewhat consistent once he digested the playbook. Reuben Randall, Brandon Myers haven't gotten to that stage yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could also agree that maybe Peyton Manning took his mojo back, maybe. Or, you know, maybe Manning needs to give him a call and ask him a few questions, you know. But, like, you know, he needs just to make better decisions when he's in the pocket. You know, sometimes I feel like he just throws the ball just to get rid of it. And, you know, that's what we've seen the last few weeks. You know, he just throws the ball and ends up in the other team's hands. You know, just take that sack. You know, if he's going to have to take the sack, at least you get the ball back the next play. You know,
and that's
the best thing you could do.
And that's a fair critique of Eli Manning. And Lenny, appreciate the phone call. There was one play last night, and I have to look back at the game log. I'm just going based off of memory, where Manning is literally being chased by four or five defenders. He's circling around, and you're saying to yourself as you're watching this, just go down and take the sack. He spins around off his back foot. I believe he tried to dump it off to Darrell Scott, and it was an incomplete pass. But that had either an interception written all over it or some type of game-changing situation where the Giants are going to let this contest slip away. Unfortunately, it wound up being some damage control where they didn't have a turnover or they didn't have something that would have left a lot of Giants fans scratching their heads. And that would have been a situation, as Lenny just pointed out. The wise thing is, if you've got three or four defenders in your face, don't even back up 10 yards. Just go down, take the sack. That is a fair critique of Eli Manning, and that is solely on the quarterback. That has nothing to do with the receivers or the running backs. 201-939-4513. All right, we'll go to our last caller of the show, Robin in Georgia. Robin, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, man? Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. What you got?
I just got a little words of encouragement for the Giants, man. I mean, we played good last night. I think we're heading in the right direction. If we can just limit the turnovers, and, you know, that, I think that'll get us over the hump, man. I've been a Giants fan for a while now, so I just want to encourage them. I want them to keep their heads up in the locker room. Don't let nothing let them down. Just, you know, keep fighting. I think we're going to get a win, and we're going to turn this thing around.
All right, Robin, I like the optimism. Appreciate the phone call. Good way to end the show. Turnovers, big storyline this season. Manning, 15 interceptions. He had 15 all of last season. He has 15 through six games. They have 23 giveaways on the year. They have 7 takeaways. You do the math. That is not a pretty turnover differential. That is dead last in the NFL by a wide margin. And you went up against a team that tilts the other way. The Chicago Bears will take turnovers. They will say thank you very much. And they will make you pay. And that's exactly how the game played out last night. Tim Jennings' interception return for a touchdown is the difference maker. Eli Manning's interception, when he tried to get to Brandon Myers, is being brought to the forefront because it happened in the fourth quarter late when the Giants were driving. But if you look at this game as a whole and you say, okay, the Giants lost by 6 points, you wipe that Tim Jennings touchdown off the board, who knows? Maybe this game plays out and ends up very differently. The Dallas game, you have an opportunity with a late possession. Eli Manning to Darrell Scott. Off his fingertips, interception, Brandon Carr, touchdown. Kansas City, the punt return. That was the killer. Philadelphia, it's a one-point game, 3 interceptions, 3 consecutive possessions. The Giants have been there. They've been in the conversation. They've been knocking on the door for those W's. But what has happened, what has plagued them? Late game situations, late game breakdowns, late game mental lapses. You remove that stuff, then we're not putting as many things under the microscope as all of us have done over the first 6 weeks. Maybe it's too simple how we're summing things up, but it is that simple. Eliminate the turnovers. Stop shooting yourself in the foot. They've got the running game going. That's a bright spot. They had manageable third downs. That's a bright spot. Cut down the turnovers. Get this pass rush going. That's the next two priorities, the next two things to work on. Maybe they can get back to that against Minnesota and put together finally a complete game. They've been there. They've been there for 3 quarters and change. They got to get that last 5-6 minute stretch worked out, and perhaps they can get a W in the win column. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the chatter on Twitter. I thought a number of you brought up a lot of good points. I will try to get back to you on Twitter as we continue throughout the day off the air. Don't want to feel as if I ignore any of you. It's just hard to get to them throughout the course of the show. Though I do want to address one other one that was thrown out here, and this was put up on hashtag Giants chat, also sent directly to me, and it was an interesting point. Eli Holmes at L Holmes asks, is Eli suffering from a tired arm again? And there was a lot of speculation about that last season. I haven't really seen any signs of Manning underthrowing footballs. Granted, he's been on the wrong page of some of his receivers, but it hasn't been that he's 10 yards away from his receivers. It's been that he's either overthrowing them or he's throwing to the sideline. So I don't know if we could head in the direction of a tired arm at this point and start that whole conversation up again, especially when you're 6 games into the season. So I don't know if I would reach towards that route. Later in the season, if there's a sign of, once again, him underthrowing, then maybe that's something to bring back to the forefront. But right now, he just needs to work out the kinks with his receivers. It's the running of the routes. It's not being on the same page there. It has nothing to do with the arm strength of Eli Manning. So once again, thank you to all the callers and everybody for chiming in on Twitter. We will get back to our normal schedule next week. Monday, Tuesday, Friday, John Schmelk and I will be here with you taking your phone calls on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, Wednesday and Thursday. There is no game next week, at least on the weekend. It's going to be a long time till the Giants get back on the field. It won't be until October 21st, a week from this Monday, when they host the Vikings on Monday Night Football. But we will start to set the scene and look ahead to this Vikings squad starting on Monday. It's a team that is going up against Carolina this weekend. It's a team that has three quarterbacks in the mix, a deadly running back in Adrian Peterson, and they've got some weapons in this receiving core. They've got Greg Jennings, who came over from the Packers, Kyle Rudolph, the Pro Bowl tight end, and Cordarrelle Patterson, their first-round pick, who has added another weapon to the receiving core. They have been plagued by some turnovers. They have been plagued by some defensive breakdowns, but they are coming off an impressive win against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It will be interesting to see how they perform against a Carolina front seven, if you recall, that ate this Giants offense alive. So that will wrap things up for us here on this Friday morning. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way each and every weekday morning, starting at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. This is Lance Meadows saying so long on Giants.com. We'll see you Monday morning. Enjoy the weekend, Giants fans. Try to get through it as the Giants try to get that first elusive victory on Monday Night Football against the Weekends. Enjoy.